Another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my buddy here and co-host, Mr. Trey Hill. And it's been a while, Trey. It's been about, I would say, almost a month, about a month since our last show. We've had a little bit of a mourning period here for our beloved Bullies, and now we're ready to get on the horn again here and just talk about how we move forward, move past this season. But, man, how have you been? Have you been watching this this NBA playoffs?
I have been. I've been paying pretty close attention. And I feel like, especially after we took over kind of doing the game recaps here at Sports Ethos, is what it was called, not what it was called before. I don't even remember what it's called now. It's been so long.
Hoopball.
But we had so many shows, I felt like we got a well-deserved break. And by we, I mean me, because really the reason we haven't, along with the Bulls mourning, you got to celebrate having a child, but with that comes a lot of busy times. So yes, it's nice to be able to get to talk some basketball, and I'm glad to get that I get to see your face again. So it's nice to be back around. And I've been watching, and after the Bulls' kind of disappointing showing in the playoffs, except for those two games, it's been nice to watch the games and not have a rooting interest.
Yeah. It's been pretty relatively stress-free, I'd say. I really enjoyed that Bucks and Celtics series. That was kind of the one I was looking forward to the most. Did it live up to all my expectations? No, I think the Bucks kind of just ran out of gas there, so it was less entertaining than I thought it would be. But man, a lot of good stories, man. I mean, I never thought the Mavericks would make it this far, so I'm really excited and starting to become kind of a Luka Doncic fan here, which I never thought I would be. And Miami, I can't sell Miami short. I've never really truly believed that they were going to be true contenders for the title, but it's looking more and more like that's the case, Trey. Again, I'm willing to eat my words. I'm not necessarily going to eat my words on the Kyle Lowry comments I made, because he hasn't really been the reason they're winning here. He's actually been hurt for like half the series, but the Miami are rolling, man. So what surprised you the most about the playoffs here?
I think Luka and the Mavericks getting this far has been the biggest surprise. Just, it seemed like they were a year away, but Jason Kidd being a plus coach was a big surprise for me. And I think they were so tired of Rick Carlisle and everything that came with, what he brought. And then also trading Porzingis, it just seemed to really energize the team.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Luka took it personal, the Devin Booker thing. And when you have a player that's truly great, like, the top tier, the guys we're going to remember forever, I think Luka's one of those guys. And I think that Sun series is going to be, one of the first things they show on the montage, him looking at Booker with that smile, the Luka special, all that. So I think that's definitely been the most special thing for me. And you mentioned the Heat. Their ability to just grind things down to make a team play uncomfortable basketball and just not the way they want to play, it's just very impressive. And Jimmy Butler might not be a superstar in the regular season, but when the style of play changes to how it is in the playoffs, he becomes a superstar. And that matters. And the Miami Heat, it sounds so stupid to say it out loud, but they're kind of built for this, the playoff situation. They're built for this kind of stuff. Whereas you watch the Celtics, and I think the Celtics have a better team, but the Heat just do such a good job of making them play uncomfortable. And when they do that, when the Celtics look bad, man, they look bad.
Yeah, that is true. And there have been some really tough times for these Celtics here. I still think for me, the Celtics are probably the odds on favorite here to win the championship. I believe that Vegas does have them as the best odds still to take home the championship. But anyways, this is a Bulls podcast, so we'll go ahead and steer this back to the Bulls. But yeah, it's been an exciting playoffs. But
let's just steer it right to Zach LaVine. I've got a good transition for you. Were you doing an ad read?
I was. Sports Ethos. Please take a moment to go follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on Earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's fast in the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now. And Trey, I know we're out of practice here. You did catch on to it though, because you were like, oh, it sounds a little bit like it might be an ad read. Yeah, that was a little bit of my going into an ad read there, but no worries, man. But yeah, Zach LaVine, let's talk about it, man. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
So how much of the Celtics have you gotten to watch? I know you've been busy, but...
I would say I watched a good portion. I would say probably at least half of that series of the Bucks.
So when Tatum has had a bad game in these playoffs, and I'm talking specifically mostly on the offensive end, it reminds me so much of watching Zach on the Chicago Bulls. And
that's interesting.
Tatum's a better player because he's a significantly better defensive player, and he's taller. You know, that stuff matters. Right. But I do think Zach is better at attacking the rim. He's a better finisher around the rim, I think. But just in terms of their offensive play styles, their roles in the offense, to me, I feel like Jason Tatum and Zach LaVine, their play styles and just kind of the way they go about their offense, I feel like they're very similar. If they don't get off to a good start, you know, they settle for jumpers. They try and shoot themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like when things go bad, watching Jason Tatum, it really reminded me of watching Zach this year.
It does. It feels like, you know, just to kind of piggyback off that, it does feel like Jason Tatum does get inside his own head a lot of times. And I think that's the case with Zach, too. I think it's just kind of emotional players. Jason can, you know, just easily be taken out of a game. Just like you said, getting off to a slow start, people getting him off his spots. And I do feel like that's the same of Zach LaVine. But that's an interesting comparison because, obviously, the big news here, Trey, is we've had some news here, one from a LaVar Ball interview, which I just watched with David Kaplan of ESPN, and the other one with Casey Johnson in an interview. LaVar said, you know, Zach's out. Basically, he's saying, you know, no question about it, Zach's going to LA, which I think is absolutely insane. We'll talk about that a little bit more. And then Casey Johnson said that which I think is a little bit more weight behind it. Casey said that, you know, the Bulls no longer view re-signing Zach as a slam dunk, quote unquote, which I think is a little bit more worrisome for me, because obviously I think we both can agree we want to keep Zach LaVine. He is a special talent, a special offensive talent specifically. I think whoever you get to replace Zach LaVine in a side and trade, assuming that they go that route, is not going to be an adequate replacement for him. But going back to your comparison with Jason Tatum, it's interesting to compare those guys because, you know, we've had this conversation all season, Trey, about, you know, is Zach LaVine a max player or not? And these news bits that are dropping here leads me to believe, Trey, for whatever reason, I just have this sneaking suspicion that the Bulls, I don't know why, but I feel like they're not offering him the max. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think that the max is on the table for Zach LaVine?
Yeah, I do. I think every indication we've gotten from the front office has been, and to me, reading all of this, seeing everything, all of this interest from interest in other teams, this is the first time Zach's gotten to be a real free agent because the last time he hit free agency, it was restricted. Right. And not only was he dealing with the front office that, you know, both of us soured on, but he was dealing with that front office, and that front office didn't value him in the sense of we want to keep you no matter what. They said, go find an offer, and if we like it, we'll match. And if not, we're happy to not have you around. So he signed with the Kings, the Bulls matched. We know all this, but he hasn't gotten to be a real free agent to where wherever he wants to go, he can just go. Mm-hmm. And I think he signed with Clutch, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
This is his camp making it known, hey, Chicago, if you don't come with the max offer from, you know, 1201, if you try and screw around with us, we are more than happy to look around. So to me, I think this is Zach's camp making it clear that you offer the max or we're going to have some shopping.
I hope it is a lot of smoke and mirrors and just Clutch trying to get Zach his maximum penny, which he deserves every bit of. And I know we've talked about that ad nauseum on this program, but you know, you're just not going to find a three-level score like Zach LaVine anywhere else. I mean, if we're talking about LA, we're talking about the Lakers, and let's be honest, Trey, the Lakers just don't have the assets or the cap room to make this happen unless it's like a sign and trade. And if it's a sign and trade, if you're the Bulls, I mean, who are you getting back? You're getting back, like, if you get back Anthony Davis.
Well, that's
I mean,
why you sure. said they don't have the assets, because they don't they don't have the assets to make it worth the while. And
so it's absolutely yes. And I know LaVar said, you know, Zach doesn't want to be second fiddle to DeMar DeRozan, which I think is also asinine. There's never been any peep of that. There's never been any indication that's been the case. I don't think Zach should even view himself as a second fiddle to DeMar DeRozan. I think it's been a you go, I go type of thing. And Zach was banged up most of the year, so it's been mostly DeMar. And, you know, the city obviously loves DeMar, but the city loves Zach LaVine just as much. I don't think there's any – I think you're splitting hairs when you say, oh, this guy's better than the other one. I don't think there was a
lack of love for Zach right. in the city with DeMar coming on. I agree with that 100%.
I don't take a lot of stock in those LaVar Ball comments. I think, if anything, like you said, it might be Clutch obviously represent. I believe that they represent Lonzo also, but it might just be LaVar helping Zach to push those buttons to try to get that max deal done, or just something else, or maybe it's just LaVar pushing his own agenda. He talks a lot. I actually just watched that 30-minute view. I can't tell you how many times, it's countless times, that he mentions the Bulls trying to get all the Ball bonded brothers together to make a run. LiAngelo, LaMelo, and Lonzo, which, you know, I mean, cool. I'd love to see that. I mean, sure, why not? Go for it. But he's, like, totally, like, you know, speaking to existence, that kind of guy. And he's, like, totally bent on that idea. So and he wants to drum up his own kids. He's got his own brand. So I think there's a little bit of that in play too there, Trey. But yeah, you were going to say something about that.
Oh, to me, when we talk about places where Zach might go, like, say Zach ends up wanting to leave and he's just like, all right, I'm you didn't offer me the max. I'm going elsewhere. I don't think the Lakers are really a plausible one. To me, the other teams he's been linked to are the Trailblazers, the Hawks, and the Mavericks. And I think all three of those teams are much more likely to be targets than the Lakers would be. So, to me, if I had to rank my worry on a scale of 1 to 10 that we're going to be, you know, the Bulls' hand is going to be forced and we're going to have to look and try and get a sign and trade, I'd say I'm at about a 2.5-3.
And the reason we're bringing up sign and trade here, guys, is because if you're not aware, every team in the NBA can offer Zach a $160 million 4-year deal. The Bulls can offer him, thanks to, you know, his bird rights, a $212 million 4-year deal. So that's if he goes to another team just outright, that's leaving $50 million on the table. So I'm not going to say it's impossible Zach leaves, Trey. I think that's totally possible. I think if he really does want to play somewhere else or with somebody else, I think the Bulls will have, you know, incentive to get that done. I think everyone's got incentive to get that done. But I like these rules that are in place with the NBA. And I think, you know, the good thing is that if that does happen, it's going to be a sign and trade scenario and the Bulls don't end up, you know, having nothing at the end of the day. So what do we want to get back in a Bulls sign and trade with Zach LaVine? We want to get back a player of that caliber. And so that's why I'm saying, like, when you're talking about the Lakers, that's just not a reasonable thing because they've got Anthony Davis. They've got, obviously, LeBron James. I mean, if you get one of those guys back in a sign and trade with Zach LaVine, yeah, sure, I'm okay with that. But that's probably not going to happen. So it's just that's all smoke and mirrors to me.
I mean, do we want to just dive into doomsday scenario? Zach wants to leave. Where do we go from there?
Yeah, if Zach wants to leave and so are you saying Zach wants to leave and he takes a $50 million, you know, bath and just says, screw it, I'm taking $160 million 4 years somewhere else? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, not even – maybe he doesn't even do that. Maybe he just says, Atlanta, I want to play with Trae Young. And
I think it'd be such a bad pairing, but like, go ahead, yeah.
but it's one of the teams he's been linked to, so I'm just using them as an example. So say he goes to the Bulls and he's like, look, I want to play for Atlanta. This is, you know, I'm going to make this happen. So right. How about we work together and we do a sign and trade? So right. He might still get signed to, you know, the max and then immediately get traded to Atlanta for it. So to me, in that situation, you're not going to get that kind of value back.
No.
In terms of. So to me, I'm looking at a Kongwu. And you know, you can get your big of the future and maybe get the 16th pick and another first round pick out of it. Or you know, really that would be about it. So to me, at that point, you've moved Zach, you're resetting the timeline. So you've got Lonzo, who's 24, you've got Caruso, who's 28, but Patrick Williams is 20, Kobe White's 22. at that point, you look to trade DeMar DeRozan. Maybe you can get whatever assets the Lakers have, and maybe you trade for a year of Russell Westbrook, get him for the cap room coming off. You trade Vooch for something, or just keep him and have him roll off the books, and then boom, you've got some cap room to go along with Patrick Williams. If you trade Zach, maybe he wants to go to Sacramento. They're looking to make a splash. Maybe you can get that number four pick and like a Davion Mitchell out of Sacramento, and he wants to go be the man since he doesn't want to play backseat to DeMar DeRozan, because right. In this scenario, I think that's got to be a factor. So to me, you blow it up at that point. You move DeMar, you move Vooch, and you just go, Caruso's your elder statesman at 28. And that's what the Grizzlies did with Steven Adams. He was their oldest guy at 28 years old. You can have that guy be your leader if it's someone like a Steven Adams or an Alex Caruso.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that actually kind of plays into something else I've been thinking about, Trey. And you know, obviously, it's been a while since we've talked to you guys here on the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. And, you know, we didn't really give you you've been left with no kind of closure here on the season. We didn't really give you our kind of overall thoughts on the season. So kind of one of the things that I think, Trey, when I look back at the season just as a whole, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, we can probably both agree it was a success. I mean, the Bulls, we were hoping that they'd get into the playoffs. That happened. I don't think we really had any hopes beyond that. We were, you know, at one point I was hoping that the Bulls would win a playoff series. But then when that playoff series ended up being the Milwaukee Bucks, the returning champions, we ended up having no Lonzo Ball. You know, I adjusted my expectations, and I think every fan should do that. You know, you can't just expect them to win every game all the time, depending, no matter who's down or whatever. It's just not reasonable. So I adjusted my expectations. I felt like the Bulls met my expectations. Don't feel like they exceeded them. I felt like it was, you know, if I was to give the Bulls season a grade, I mean, I'd probably say it's a C plus into a B minus, probably more of a C plus for me. You know, met my expectations, and a little bit because we had some really nice moments with DeMar DeRozan, having some just MVP like moments, you know, just had some really great moments there. So, and we were in first for a while there, in the standings, but one of the concerns I have with this team.
Are we taking, so after the season ended, I saw April 27th, I was looking it up. It came out that they were saying Zach's knee after he got hurt in the season was at 50%, and that was a good day. So, Are we assuming that was true, that he was really that limited? Because he was definitely limited.
There were days when it looked like that, and there were days when it looked like he was Zach LaVine of old. I had a tough time gauging it, and I think, you know, if you were laying down bets on this guy, it was hard to do it. There were days that it definitely looked like he was struggling, and there were days where he looked like he was the Zach LaVine of old to me. So if you're saying 50%, that kind of makes sense because, you know, it's like one game he's on and one game he's not. Like one game it's working, one game it's not. That to me, that's what 50% means to me. It's like, I mean, I don't have like terrible knees, but I play basketball long enough that my knees aren't great. And on a good day when I play basketball now, it's like I can feel like, okay, yeah, I can get a little bit of elevation here. I can get a little bit of you know, a first step, speed of my first step. And you know, some days I just can't. And that's what it feels like. Felt like to me watching Zach LaVine. How about you?
Yeah, and they know so much better than we do. So if that number is real, to me, that really changes how I look at the season. Because like you said, they started off so hot. But between all of the injuries and the COVID, I really feel like this team, I know I'm going to sound like Homer, not quite the top tier championship tier, but I feel like when they're all in sync, if they can be healthy, I feel like they are that Miami Heat, Boston Celtics type of contender. Whereas when we looked at the playoffs this year, going into the season, we expected it to be the Bucks and the Nets here. And, you know, just the season worked out perfect for the Celtics and the Heat to end up in this position. I think the Bulls, when healthy, they can be that. So to me, seeing how good this team was when it was everything running on all cylinders, or mostly cylinders, because we didn't even have Patrick Williams then, really. To me, I think it's an A minus for me. But I know you were getting ready to get into the negative, so I'll let you go before go negative.
No. What you're saying there leads perfectly, because when you look, okay, so you think about the Miami Heat. When you think about the Miami Heat, you think about, you know, hashtag Heat culture, right? It's like these guys, you know, they're selfless. They play with for each other. They play as a team. They play as a unit. There's no individual that stands out. Jimmy Butler's the best player, but it doesn't matter. He can miss a game just like in their last game in the playoffs, and they still win. You think about the Celtics, and their identity is Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I mean, it's a two-man game. Those two guys, everything kind of rests on them. And then there's defense, right? And their defense is incredible. And watching their defense at times is just amazing. Their offense can be putrid at times, like you said before, and it was in that last game. But I think in general, there's an identity there. So the Bulls, what's our identity? You know, where do we stand? And like you said before, you know, we've got guys, we've got DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic, we've got LaVine, who are kind of in that, you know, LaVine's a little younger, but basically that 30-year-old range. We've got Patrick Williams. We've got Kobe White. We've got Ayo Dosunmu, who are in the, you know, obviously way younger range. So is this a team that, you know, we're looking to compete here in the next few years, which obviously I think that's the goal. Is this a team where we're looking to develop those guys that are younger? You know, what's our identity here? I don't feel like this Bulls team yet has an identity. I think, you know, we did some things well. We played in transition particularly well, I felt like. You know, we were one of the top teams as far as creating offense in transition. We were one of the bottom teams in terms of defending the transition. So, you know, what is our identity, Trey? If I was to put that question to you, would you have a definitive answer for me?
What is it, or what do the Bulls, what would the Bulls like for it to be?
It's a good distinction. I think
it, because, you know, I think if you look at the beginning of the, at the start of the season, it was an aggressive attacking defense with your guard, with the perimeter play, and focused on getting out in transition, getting out quick. And when the ball, you know, came to a stop, you have Zach and you have DeMar to play with. And you had Lonzo and Caruso as kind of like the connective tissues, you know, the guys that are those secondary passes. So to me, I think if you, what the Bulls want to be is very much like an aggressive defense with, you know, just like getting out and running and being able to depend on Zach to be that three-level scorer that we know he can be. Because as much as we loved watching DeMar this year, when Zach's on, DeMar can make the, you know, insanely difficult shots, but they are insanely difficult shots that he's taking, and they're not high percentage. Zach, when he's going 100%, he can get wide open looks anywhere on the court whenever he wants to. And he's 27 years old. You know, he's just getting ready to enter his prime. I think this is like everything's coming together for him. If he can get that knee healthy, I really think he can be the closer on offense for this team. And if we can get Lonzo back healthy, if we can get Caruso in there, we get Patrick Williams in there with him. You know, Javonte Green, he's a menace on the defensive end. Ayo, didn't even bring him up, all rookie second team. I think this team really wants to be active on defense to kind of hide Vooch and then use him and his Vooch's spacing to just attack on offense.
And yeah, that's going to be a guy, obviously, that's going to come up this offseason quite a lot. I'm sure he's going to be involved in tons of trade rumors. You know, Bulls fans are very up and down on him, mostly down, I would say, because, you know, he had some really great games. And I think he's been, especially in those playoffs, man, he was really integral to what the Bulls were trying to do. But when he had bad games, it was very, very apparent, right? It was like something that like you could point to and say, oh, obviously, Vooch didn't have a good game. I did see a graph earlier today, too. You know, we like those little head graphs where it's like a scatter plot of all the players, and it's showing you different things. And this one was
shout
about
B-Ball Index.
B-Ball Index does those. Yeah, probably. I think it was a B-Ball Index one. But it was showing us, you know, threes. The openness of your threes was on the X axis. On the Y axis was 3-point playmaking or shot making ability. And Vooch was like bad. like Russell Westbrook was like way in the bottom right corner, which is the bad area. And then Vooch was like towards him, like down, but the openness was kind of like in between. So he was relatively open compared to some of the worst ones, but his shot making ability from the three was down. So, and I know that's something a lot of Bulls fans are about, you know, and it's kind of stupid to say, just get in the post and bang and you know, get the ball in the post and don't shoot any threes anymore. That's not what you need to do. It's all dependent on the situation. And you know, there were a lot of situations where Vooch shooting a three made a lot of sense. So I don't want him not shooting those shots. but he needs to make those shots at the same time. And he struggled this year. I mean, there's no two way, you know, there's no other way around it. He had a hard time making that 3-point shot this year, which I think did affect him offensively in other areas.
Yeah, he only shot 32% this year, which is 7% lower than last year. Or, yeah, 8% lower than last year, it looks like. So he really struggled from out there. And, you know, you just hope that it's a down year because he's traditionally been a little bit higher than that. But even if he's not knocking them down, we saw whenever even if he can just knock down one or two in the playoffs, it made a huge difference because they had to respect him when he was out there. And to me, like, that's the difference. But you mentioned he's going to be the big topic this offseason. And he's going to be an expiring contract this next year. He's shown a willingness to sign contracts that decrease in value. So that is something to maybe look towards. You know, he might be willing to sign a very team-friendly contract in the future, especially if he likes it. But to me, you have to be willing to move him, especially if something comes available.
Yes.
I've been the biggest Vooch supporter this year that there has been, basically, I think. I don't want to say he obviously is to blame for a lot of the defensive lapses where it looks like, but a lot of it is also we expected him to have dominant perimeter defenders in front of him to kind of hide that, and we've kind of just let him be exposed. Yeah. So to me, I just think he's the unfair scapegoat for a lot of it.
Yeah, it is unfair. He's not to blame for every single, you know, Bulls loss. That's ridiculous. He's not. So here's my take on Vucevic. I love Vucevic. I love him as a player. What I don't love here, Trey, in Chicago, is his fit next to DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And you know, I've been saying here since at least the start of this season, after we signed DeMar DeRozan, that I thought, looking at the contracts and how everything lined up, the goal of this year, this past season, was to make Zach LaVine happy and to sign on the dotted line to get him to re-sign. So for me, you know, I know I gave the Bulls a C-plus grade for the season, you know, just based on their play. But if I was to give a grade, you know, just intellectually for the Bulls this past season, it's kind of TBD. It's still up in the air because I need Zach to sign with us. I need Zach to see that the Bulls are willing to build a contender around him. And one of the things that gives me heart here and gives me hope is that the Bulls have gone on record a couple times. I believe it was Mark Eversley or Arturas that said this, that they are willing to go into the luxury tax, which would be only the second time in franchise history that the Bulls have gone to the luxury tax, believe it or not. As much success as we had in the 90s, we didn't spend a lot of money. It's just something that Jerry Reinsdorf has been opposed to because he's just who he is, I guess. Just a penny pincher type of owner. But, you know, the fact that they've said that openly gives me a lot of hope here, Trey, because that lets Zach know, again, we're willing to build a contender around you. We're willing to give you that max offer, willing to bring in even other people outside of that to make this successful. But going back to Vooch, I just don't think he's a great fit next to DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And if I have to imagine that the Bulls are going to roll next season and even perhaps the following season, which I believe is the last season on DeMar's deal, with those two people, I just don't think it's a great fit. So that's the only reason I don't like Vooch, quote unquote. It's not that I don't like him as a player. It's not that I think he's a bad player. I think he's a fantastic player. I think in the right system, on the right team in Orlando, he was an MVP candidate, in my opinion. They just didn't win enough games for him to really get there. But I would rather see, I think, like a Mitchell Robinson, or I'd rather see, the guy in Indiana, I'm spacing his name now, Miles Turner, you know, obviously Rudy
Gobert.
Turner
I would like more than Robinson. To me, I kind of disagree on that. I feel like DeMar DeRozan and his lack of willingness to step outside the three-point line just clogs up the spacing no matter who you're going to have in there at the center role. I thought Vooch and Zach worked really well on that empty corner pick and roll. And, I mean, even him and DeMar as well. But to me, I more worry about – so say you bring in Mitchell Robinson, who literally his guy doesn't ever have to leave the paint. So
the Bulls need more shooting. Yes, there's no doubt about that.
I think that's a worse combination because – so you've got DeMar and you've got Zach. neither one, I don't trust either one of those guys to be able to throw a lob pass over a double team to the rolling Mitchell Robinson to take advantage of, you know, that defender not having to respect Mitchell Robinson whatsoever as an offensive threat except for the lob. So to me, I feel like if we move Vooch, it has to be, unless DeMar is going to be willing to step outside behind that 3-point line a little bit more like he did that, I think those first couple of years in San Antonio, I think you have to have a guy that offers some spacing beside DeMar.
The Bulls absolutely need more shooting. That would be the second thing for me. I don't think you necessarily, I mean, if you look at the guys, if you look at the teams that are in, you know, the playoffs still, I mean, obviously you've got the Mavericks. Everyone on the Mavericks, except for Dwight Powell, can shoot the three. They can all create space for Luka Doncic. That's kind of a unique situation in my opinion. But you look at the Miami Heat. You've got Bam Adebayo, doesn't really shoot threes. You've got Jimmy Butler, doesn't really shoot threes. You know, it's the same kind of thing in my opinion. Obviously, Jimmy Butler is more of a perimeter player. He does get going downhill, draws a lot of fouls. He's very, very similar to DeMar DeRozan in that way. So you've paired him with Bam Adebayo. So, yeah, go ahead.
One thing I would point out with that. So I think a lot of that success, you remember early in the season, the Bulls, they didn't shoot. They were like one of the lowest percentage of their shots were from 3-point. But in terms of how well they were shooting, they were like the best team in the league for a while at shooting the 3-point ball. And that wasn't necessarily because they had a lot of knockdown shooters, but that was that aggressive defense, getting out in transition. And what happens when you're getting stops and you're getting turnovers is you're getting open looks and you're getting shots in rhythm. Yeah, the shot quality just goes up. And you're exactly right. This, when it comes to the playoffs, you either need to be able to knock down shots or you mentioned the Miami Heat. They have Jimmy Butler and Bam, but they also have that defense that really just creates things for them. Like, you watch that game against the Celtics, they won that game because of the ball pressure, the turnovers, and just that relentlessness, even though Jimmy Butler wasn't in. So to me, as much as I would like to have more shooting, I need Zach, and this was my big negative from the year, with Caruso out, with Lonzo out, Zach really got exposed on the defensive end. And part of that might have been his knee, because he did look good in the Olympics and he looked pretty good early on in the season when he was guarding, you know, the worst guy on the floor. But we need this defense, especially if they're going to be undersized, to play on a string and to get. And I think if we can get that, the shot quality goes up, the 3-point percentage goes up, and it just gives DeMar and Zach even more room to work.
And Lonzo Ball is so important here. He's so important to what you're talking about, Trey. And, you know, we talked about it a lot on this show. And, you know, I was listening to that LeVar Ball and David Kaplan interview, and they both mentioned it too. You know, it's just he's so important. He's the key to the machine. He gets it going. And I think a lot of people, you know, across the league that aren't Bulls fans, that didn't watch this team, you know, 24/7 every single game, they don't really see that, and they don't really understand that, because they just look at the box score sometimes, and they look at the numbers, and you know, Lonzo Ball is not putting up impressive numbers. He'll have a triple double here and there, you know, and sometimes he'll be able to score a lot of points if he hits threes at a high rate. But outside of that, it's not something where you look at the box score and you're gonna, or look at the highlights even. Well, I won't say highlights, but if you look at the box score, you're not going to say, oh, you know, that's the guy. That's one of the really key dudes on the team. But him and Alex Caruso, they're the same way in that sense, isn't it? In that they just create so much offense and shot quality, you know, good looks off of the defense and off of that perimeter defense. So not having that, like you're saying, Trey, was just such a terrible thing to happen to the Bulls. And we looked so awful there for like a couple of months. I was really impressed and happy with the effort we gave in the playoffs. So that's why, you know, I think if they would have just faltered and got swept in the playoffs, I might have given this like a C or a C minus for the Bulls for the season for me. But just seeing them, you know, really give that heart and that hustle in the playoffs brought up to C plus for me personally. So, you know, I think I'm in agreement with you basically in that defense is really key too. I still want to see them ahead shooters though. I think our shooters are just absolutely dreadful. But yeah, go ahead.
they weren't great, but again, you mentioned Lonzo. He shot, I think, 7 threes a game, 40%. When he was playing, he was getting talk for all defensive team along with Caruso. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even mention the part you were saying where he is kind of the lifeblood of this defense. He, if you think about like him in, as a computer, his, the way he processes what's happening on the floor is just so quick. He knows when to make the right, you know, he knows what pass he's going to make before he even gets the ball, so he can just whip it and just keep that defense bending and breaking, basically. And when you look up just like high quality passes and things like that, he's somewhere in the top 25 in the league. He's just, he's so valuable to this team. And he's just, you said it yourself, he's the key that unlocks everything. He really is. And
yeah,
I tried coming into this podcast, you know, I knew we were going to talk Zach, and I'm looking at the trades and I'm trying to talk myself into, well, you know, maybe it won't be that bad if Zach leaves. I really think if this team is healthy, they can play with anyone. And I really want to see this team come back, and that includes Zach. But
yeah,
as much as that includes Zach, that includes Lonzo and his knee. And I think he is just as important to this team as Zach LaVine.
Yeah, and like I said, I think if Zach does leave in free agency for whatever reason, even if it's a sign and trade, I think that's an L. I think that's that makes this season an L too, because I think the whole point of this season was, again, prove to Zach that you want to build a contender around him and get him to sign on the dotted line. So I think that was the goal here. And if we don't do that, we failed. And then that's just my opinion. I think that was the goal of the front office. I could be reading the situation wrong. What I thought was the championship window would open up, not even Nick season, but the season beyond that, the second year of Zach's new deal, and you probably have Vooch off of it, you have DeMar off of it, you'd run him with guys like Patrick Williams and probably maybe some guys that fit a little bit better, in my opinion, with the Bulls basketball. But and you still got Lonzo, because I think Lonzo's in a four-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. This is just off the top of my head. It could be a three-year deal. Okay. So anyways, you still got Lonzo too. But folks, here real quick, I want to go ahead and just tell you, fantasy basketball is not happening, but there is no such thing as a fantasy off season, only the pre-draft season. And here at Sports Ethos, this pre-draft season has already begun. Our expert analysis, our analysts are churning out important lessons learned and draft analysis on incoming rookies, so you can get a jump on your prep. And we'll have incredible free agency and summer league coverage as well, but only if you're part of our premium member team. Head to sportsethos.com now and click on the premium tab to grab a fantasy pass today. Seriously, cook yourself one extra lunch per month, because it's only $5.99. See you there. So yeah, go to fantasy basketball. I've just signed up for another dynasty league. I'm like a freaking fantasy nut, so it's a lot of fun. These guys do great work. Go get that fantasy pass for sure.
We're wrapping things up a little bit, but before we go, Derek Jones Jr., he's an unrestricted free agent, assuming we keep Zach, so we're going to be over the cap, so it's not doing us any good to let him walk. How much money is too much money for Derek Jones Jr.? He made $9.7 million this year. To me, I'm setting it at that $10 million a year.
Wow.
Okay. I would do three, like 2 years, $20 million, $10 million a year. Because, I mean, at that point, you play next year with him, and after that year, he's an expiring at $10
million.
Mm. And so what would you say on Derek Jones Jr.?
I'm not paying him $10 million. I think that contract he got was he's such a limited offensive player. I think he offers a lot on the defensive end. He shot really well from the field this past season, which really impressed me. So I might be in the wrong here. But you know, I'm just gonna stick with my gut on this one. I think that's just too much. I mean, if he's willing to take like $6-8 million a year, for maybe a couple of years, I think 2 years would probably be perfect, because that makes him expiring alongside, you know, DeMar DeRozan and
so Vooch. You're going 2 years, 16 is your max.
I think that's probably my max. Yeah.
Okay. So, Troy Brown Jr., he's a restricted free agent. For me, I'm saying go find yourself a deal and we'll see if we want to match it.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I don't think he's going to find a lot of deals. I don't think he's wowed a lot of people in the league. I think he had a lot of opportunity with the Washington Wizards, and I was kind of high in the kid coming in. I was actually happy the Bulls grabbed him, because I thought he showed a lot of versatility, and he could be like a kind of a Swiss Army knife for our team. But I feel like Ayo Dosunmu just fills that role already. And if Ayo can just increase his shooting and his ball handling a bit, I think he can beat Troy Brown Jr. easily. So I don't think Troy Brown's anyone I want to hold on to personally. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. He does have good size. He's got good handle. He does have pretty good passing vision. So it, in terms of a break in case of emergency guy to try, I don't mind having him as like the 12th guy, because I do feel like he, I feel like he's a good perimeter Swiss Army knife with some size. So, you know, if you can keep him, you know, $5 million a year, $6 million a year, that's about as high as I go. But he is real young. I think he's only like 22, 23. So, you know, 3 years, $16 million, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, you can pretty much sign anyone in the league that's, you know, somewhat worthy to that kind of contract. I wouldn't be upset about it. So that's just a very reasonable contract. So I wouldn't be upset about it. And I thought, and like I said, I think he actually shot it really well. I mean, this is off the top of my head. I haven't looked at his numbers, but his 3-point shooting, I feel like was probably the best of his career, if I'm not mistaken, this year, or maybe up there.
Yeah, it was tied. It was tied for, but non-corner three, he did shoot 38% on non-corner threes. That was 80th percentile in the league. And that's one thing I really value in a player, is their ability to shoot above the break threes, because as much as we value that corner three, you know, it's the best shot in the league. Everybody wants the corner three. It's also the shot that most people specialize in. So if you can find a guy who can really stretch the floor with those above the break spacing, I think that that is valuable.
So let's talk about this here, Trey. The Bulls have been linked, according to, I can't remember who now, but they've been linked to Matisse Thybulle. Oh, sorry, Sean Devaney of somewhere or other. Who knows where he's from? But they've been linked to Matisse Thybulle because Mark Eversley obviously has some, you know, familiarity with him, you know, due to being in Philadelphia. And I like Matisse Thybulle. I think he's one of those guys that, like, fantastic perimeter defender. If you get a three from him, or he's shooting well from three, it's like a bonus. But that's not ever, that's not like a given. Like, he's not necessarily a reliable 3-point shooter. And he hasn't really contributed anything else on offense. So I'm kind of lukewarm on the idea of bringing Matisse Thybulle in. I think it'd be fine. I'd be willing to try it out and okay with it. I just feel like, you know, you're bringing in another, basically, Javonte Green or Derrick Jones Jr. That's what I, that's the way I view it.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah.
So
a guy who is not, who is better defensively and not as good offensively as either of those two guys. So to me, if you can get him for a second round pick, I don't hate it, but I'm not excited about it. I think Ben Simmons not playing really exposed him a little bit this year. I know he made all defensive, I think, second team. I didn't think he deserved to be on there. I was a Herb Jones guy myself, but I think having Embiid behind him really helps, but not having Ben Simmons, I thought you saw Thybulle get beat a lot more often. I thought it was very hit or miss. Think high-end Westbrook defense. You know, if Westbrook was a capable defender, is kind of what I saw from Thybulle this year. And having Vucevic as the backline defender, I'm not sure he's the guy you want covering up the mistakes.
Yeah, it just doesn't move the needle for me. I'm pretty lukewarm on it. You know, if the Bulls go out and get him, like you said, if it's for something like a second-round pick or you know, whatever. I mean, maybe we trade, you know, Troy Brown Jr. or something for him. Like, you know, fine. I'm not going to, like, be upset about it, but it's not, it doesn't move the needle for me. So, yeah, it's not necessarily something I'm super excited about. And I feel like Danny Green's a better player in general, you know, for the Sixers, and he's been getting the minutes over Thybulle. So, it's just not, Thybulle is just 25. So maybe it fits our timeline a little bit better. I know Javonte Green's what, 29, I think, 28, turning 29. And then, who did I say? Derrick Jones Jr. I think he's what, 27, 28, somewhere in that range, I think. So maybe it fits our timeline a little bit better to get like a younger guy that's like that. But yeah, it's not, I'm not super excited about it. So let's end with this. Let's say the Bulls do sign and trade Zach LaVine. You know, again, we've talked a little bit about this program, but you know, who would you want him, you know, who are they trading him to? Who would you want to get back? Is there somebody that's out there that's a star that you feel like can be attained for a Zach LaVine in a swap? I mean, do you think you can get – so let me – do you think you can get Bradley Beal for Zach LaVine?
Do I want Bradley Beal for Zach LaVine?
I don't know.
I'm really trying to get that number four pick from Sacramento, and I'm trying to get Jaden Ivey from Purdue.
High on Jaden Ivey, huh?
I mean, high enough that I like him better than – so when you look at the teams he's linked to, because as much as we would love to trade him for Bradley Beal, Zach doesn't want to go play in Washington. Like, he's going to go somewhere he wants to play. So Atlanta, you've got Okongwu would be my favorite target, like Okongwu in the number 16 pick. I'm not a big Collins guy. I don't think he moves the needle. But if you get Okongwu in the number 16 pick, I feel like you're stuck in that purgatory, that Atlanta Hawks, you know, from back in the 2000s with Al Horford and Josh Smith and all those guys. Same thing with Dallas, even the Lake. And, you know, anywhere he goes, I don't feel like you're getting – a chance at a superstar. But if you can move him to Sacramento and get that number four pick, if one of those three big guys falls, you know, Chet, Paolo, or Jabari Smith Jr., obviously the Bulls would love to have any of those three, but I'm pretty sure those three will be gone. But I think Jaden Ivey at least has the superstar potential that it's worth investing in. And it would, assuming you reset the whole timeline like I discussed earlier, I think building around a Jaden Ivey, a Lonzo Ball, a Patrick Williams, Ayo Dosunmu with Caruso as, you know, your veteran leadership. There's worse things in the world than that.
Yeah, I don't think – I'm trying to think if there's anybody out there
like
on those teams.
What, Brunson on the Mavericks?
No, I'm not interested in Brunson. He doesn't shoot threes either. He doesn't space the floor either. You need a floor spacer if you're gonna have DeMar DeRozan.
Like I don't hate Brunson. I think he'd be a decent creator. But you know, to me, that's why I said I'm going for that number four pick. I'm wanting a shot at a big ticket item. The Blazers, I think they had the number seven pick is where they're at.
Avery Simons and the number seven pick.
What about that? Not moving Simons.
Yeah. Probably
that's If we could get that package for Zach, I would do that happily, because yeah. I think that would be just really good value for him, especially if he wanted to go. You know, I'd even consider it if he didn't want to go. I think it's just that good of a package. But I don't see the Blazers giving that up, and they don't have anyone else to add to that number seven pick. And by number seven, I just feel like that. Well, obviously there have been superstars drafted seven and later. I just feel like once you get past four or five, you're picking in the scraps of that, you know, superstar potential kind of guys.
It'd be kind of hilarious too for the Blazers to take that package, because like they just get rid of McCollum to go ahead and get Zach LaVine to pair with Damian Lillard. And it's like you're in the same situation and now you don't have that free time. So yeah, I just don't see it happening. Okay, last thing here, Trent. Bulls have the 18th pick in this upcoming draft. Any guys, I know I've seen a few here, guys that we're linked to here, but any guys that you are excited about for the Bulls to draft at number 18?
Oh, I'm not answering this question. This podcast, I have not done my draft research yet. That is actually my plan over the next few days. So the next time we come on, I will have five guys that I am targeting for the Bulls. But to me, I don't know who's going to be available on that back end. There's that, I think his name's Mark Williams from Duke, the center from Duke. He had those insane measurables. He's someone I'm looking at if Duren, I think is his name, from Memphis. If he falls out of like the top five or six, if I'm the Bulls, I would look to trade up for him. I think he's going to be a really special player, especially on the defensive end. He's a center. You would like him a lot. He's my favorite this year. I don't know who's going to be available. Who do you have?
I was looking for his name because I'm not well versed in college basketball. There's a guy that we've been linked to. I can't remember
Liddell,
his name now. Yeah, Liddell. That's it. Liddell. Okay. Yes. That's why I see everybody having us taking the mock drafts. And I was looking at his draft breakdown here, and he looks like an undersized power forward. Plays defense, technically a three-level scorer, but doesn't really shoot threes. I just don't see that as a great fit for us, given the situation. We need more shooting. The defense would be nice. You know, a nice two-way player would be great. But I think Patrick Williams is kind of that role that we're looking for here, that he would fit. So if it ends up being Lydell, you know, I feel like that's like just a worse Patrick Williams that we're drafting there. And I'm just not really that interested in that. So that's who I've seen his link to the most, but yeah, I'll have to do some more research also. So just kind of a throw in there, Trey, just to see if you had any names for me, but, we'll both do our research here.
There's a Nikola Jovic, mm-hmm. who is from
Serbia. Oh yeah. Nikola Jovic. Yeah,
is
yeah.
someone that I like. And
I like him just because he has a name, obviously close to Nikola Jovic. So, you know, well, obviously he has to be good.
Yeah. I spoke last year with a scout from over that way named Ignacio Rosado, on a different podcast. He, Ignacio works for ID Prospects, and he was really high on Nikola Jovic. And another guy he was really high on, the two other guys he was high on this last year was Şengün and Giddy. He really liked both of them, and that translated. So I trust his judgment. And if I'm the Bulls, it looks like Jaden Hardy is dropping down draft boards. I just went and did a quick scan. He played for the G League Ignite. Coming into the year, he was expected to be a top five pick. So maybe, you know, interview him, see what happened, why he dropped. And he's a 6'4 guard. But if he's got that kind, if he had that kind of talent, and, you know, he slipped for whatever reason, I think that if you can get a guy who might, you know, win the lottery that late in the first round, that's something to look at.
Well, let's talk about needs. The Bulls need size. The Bulls need shooting. That's my two opinions here. But I would say I'd put them in that order, size and shooting. So I'm looking at, you know, a backup center.
Now when you say size, you mean legit size. You don't want another undersized four. You don't want Liddell.
I don't want Liddell. I want somebody that maybe plays small forward and is tall, you know, 6'8" or something for that position. I want somebody
Jovic is a center. He's 6'11".
Jovic would probably be, based on what we're saying here, Jovic is probably my preferred target. But you know, I think that shooting would be the secondary thing. So if they can get a guard that's a decent scorer, just can shoot, I don't feel like Kobe White is the answer long term. I love Kobe as a person. I think he's done a lot of great things. I think, you know, even these last playoffs, it's just been, you know, shown that he just struggles, I feel like, in extended periods of time. And I just don't know if that's the guy we need as a sixth man off of our bench. How are you feeling about Kobe White these days?
Can we trade him and somebody else for DeAndre Ayton?
I'd love to. Yeah, sure. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's get on the phone.
I mean, I say that half joking, but if Ayton becomes available,
yeah,
Kobe White and Chris Paul are super close off the court. Like, Chris Paul is his mentor, and with Chris Paul leaving, you know, maybe you could talk them into that, especially if Ayton wants to leave. It because of how the base salary works, it's very difficult for him to move to the Bulls. A third team has to be involved to take on some salary. But maybe you could move Vucevic and Kobe White and the 18th pick for DeAndre Ayton. Yeah.
I'm not sold
on Kobe other than being, you know, the second guard off the bench. And if he makes his shots, he can stay in. But
yeah,
if we have Lonzo, Zach, Io, Caruso, Patrick Williams, you know, DeMar all healthy, He's fine to be on the end of the bench, but if you can get any value for him in a trade, I think you should do it.
Yeah, I'd rather play all those guys. So, but no, yeah, it's awesome to talk Bulls again. I am excited that we're back. We're gonna try to get you guys, you know, at least a few shows here. We're probably gonna take a little bit more of a break here, but as we get closer to the season, I know Trey will be joining me here. You know, hopefully
we're coming back in a week. I just promised them that we were gonna come back in a week, and I would have my five draft guys.
Well, there we go. Now we've got
the draft show next week.
We've got our concept. Okay. Now I got to do some research. Dang you. Yeah, that's all good. We can definitely do that. No, we'll definitely have some shows for you guys. And then I know next season, you know, for the game recaps, we might go a little bit light on that with Trey, but I'll definitely be here for you guys. And we'll see if we can maybe add a third voice here, but we'll see how it all plays out. But no, I'm excited to talk Bulls again with you, man. And just excited to be back. And you know, this baby's kicking my butt But even though I've got no sleep, I've got all the time for the Bulls. So that's just how much of a diehard I am. So, but hey, until next time, guys, I am Keith Gork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith, at BSBPKeith. Trey, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Final Finally. And man, it really was nice to be back to talk some Bulls. And I just have to say, you are just, we took all this time off and you were just like so smooth as a host. You always have been. When we had Hayes on, I messaged him after and me and him talked about just how smooth you were with the ad reads. And
keep it moving. Keep it moving.
You're just such a pro, man. And just a pro. It's good to be back. And I cannot wait to talk more Bulls basketball.
Absolutely, man. And guys, go follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls, at Ethos Bulls. And we're going to bring you some more great content. Going to have some just excellent stuff up here for you guys in this upcoming season. We're going to try to get somebody that's a little bit more hands-on with the graphics and stuff like that, be a little bit more engaged on Twitter, all this good stuff. Just got to, you know, get it all sorted. But we're excited, man. We're Bulls fans until we die. Hope you guys are too. Follow us and come along this journey with us. But, yeah. Until next time.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.